And I'm leader because someone has to make the decisions. But we watch for each other, and act for and with each other. That's how we survived. And that's why I figure we're valuable to you.
Baron Silas's impassive features cracked with a raised eyebrow that could have indicated surprise. If it did, his still-frozen eyes gave nothing away.
Now, why'd y'all think you may be valuable?
Because if we weren't, or you didn't think that we could be, then we would have long since been chilled.
Baron Silas considered that for a moment.
That's a damn good point, and one that can't rightly be answered that well. So I guess I'll have to give you that.
In which case, sir, you may perhaps see fit to do us the justice of some manner of explanation. After all, from what our acquaintance Crow has told us, it would seem that you have taken some time and effort to build up this vill. Pray, where do we fit in?
From the first time since he had started to speak, Baron Silas took his full gaze away from Ryan and settled it on Doc. It was all the old man could do to avoid recoiling. The cold eyes and stone face were all too reminiscent for him of Jordan Teague, Baron of Moxon, and the man who had been Doc's torturer when he had first been flung into the world of the Deathlands. Both men shared the ability to make one feel like an insect in amber. Baron Silas noted this instinctive recoil and remembered it for future reference.
All right, I'll tell you. But first, I think you'd all do with food. Hell, I know I could.
The Baron clapped his hands three times, and the double doors opened. Two armed Sekhmen came into the room, then exited again when they saw Silas nod. JB looked at Ryan. They were both thinking that this had to be some kind of arranged signal. If so, the big question was, had the Baron arranged this to impress or overawe them in some way? Or did he actually live in this manner? Before either had a chance to say anything, the doors opened again, and the Sekhmen re-entered, standing one on either side of the double doors. Following them came a procession of women, each carrying a silver tray containing dishes of food. The women, all of whom were well clothed in a variety of low-cut frocks and had similar physical characteristics, were all redheads either naturally or by dye, and were large-bosomed and small-waisted, although of varying heights. They were obviously picked by Baron Silas to follow his own preferences and weren't just employed as serving girls. As they placed the trays on the tables, they stood back against the walls. They were followed by more girls with pitchers of wine brewed from locally grown fruits and water. Plates, cutlery, and goblets were laid before the companions, Crow and the Baron. Christie took in the similarities between the serving girls and also their differences. Despite the shape and the hair color, some of them were black, Hispanic, or Native American in ethnic origin. It made for a bizarre mix.
Interesting staff you have here.
Silas indicated the women with a sweeping wave.
All my girls are hand-picked. I only go for the best, as with everything. They're available if you wish. I was assuming you don't have your own arrangements.
He briefly glanced at Christy and Mildred.
Now, eat, drink, and then I'll explain.
J.B. looked at Ryan and then cast an eye over the food and drink that lay on the table. There were meats, vegetables, and some strange breads and biscuits that seemed of uncertain origin. Ryan's eye met the armorer's over the top of the man's spectacles. Silas noticed their exchange and grasped the meaning.
Crow, if you'd be so kind as to join me.
The Native American and the Baron both reached for food and also took some of the wine. They began to eat and drink, and only when they had observed this did the companions join them.
You disappoint me. I'd expected less overt distrust.
Sometimes the obvious can pass you by.
Silas washed down the bread he was eating with some wine.
But what good would it have done?
Didn't have to do any good. Maybe just a little prod.
The meal continued with little small talk. The companions exchanged a few words with one another about the meal, and any attempts by the Baron to draw Ryan further were met with a bland response. They were too aware of the serving girls, who could possibly catch any comments that the Baron or Crow may miss. The Native American, for his part, ate his meal in silence. When they had finished, the serving girls gathered everything that was left on the table and took it away. The two armed Sekhmen, who had remained impassive in the doorway throughout, followed them out and closed the doors behind them, but not before Crow had joined them. To all the companions, the fact that Crow had also departed meant that the real business was about to begin. They sat for a few moments in silence, the Baron composing his thoughts.
So do we get to find out why we're here now, or is there a cabaret?
Baron Silas fixed her with a stare, as if he weren't sure whether she was serious. Realizing she wasn't, he began.
Salvation means a lot to me, a hell of a lot. Not just because it's made me rich, with more jack and booty than I know what to do with, which is never a bad thing, but because it's something that's taken a long time for me to build. I was just a kid when I first came here. My daddy brought all of us from a ville called Dallas, that used to be a big pre-dark place, except as how there wasn't much left of it after, on account of all the oil wells and refineries firing the whole area after the new cost. When it was okay to settle again, there just wasn't much left to settle. They tried to farm that land, but my daddy always had this theory that the old wells shouldn't be dry. They weren't used up in the days before Skydark, so why shouldn't there be some left? And why shouldn't we all exploit that, seeing as how fuel is the most valuable thing that there is these days?
That is a sound piece of reasoning, I would say. And surely any baron who was sitting on such a potential source of trade and Jack would jump at the chance.
Silas allowed himself the luxury of a small grin that made him look about as friendly as a sidewinder.
Well, now, you'd think it might. Maybe it would have if there was any sense to anything. But Baron Angus Edison of Dallas didn't want that. It was a small ville, and he couldn't devote time and manpower to getting the wells investigated or opened again.
So why not form alliances, as you obviously have now?
Because there ain't no one in these parts who'd pitch in, unless they knew as they were onto a good thing. And there ain't no one who Baron Angus would trust anyways. The stupid thing is that the only man he ever trusted was his son Christian. And it was Christian who had the old man's shield, so as he could take over. I've got an alliance with Christian, but I can't say as I trust the fucker. Then again, he'd be a fool to trust me either.
Jack's piercing red eyes trained on the Baron.
So how end up here?
Baron Silas met his stare with an equally piercing gaze.
My daddy was convinced that he could find a well to work and get rich, maybe become his own baron. If Angus wasn't going to let him look for one in Dallas, then maybe he'd just have to get out and find his own. He knew this land like his own skin, and so he knew that if he came here, he had a chance of getting a well. There were some people here then, but it was so small that they didn't even have a baron as such. Well, it took a long time to build a reasonable place for my ma and me, and then get the trust of the locals enough to start the search. They had some machinery and stuff that they'd salvaged, and they used wag parts for trade, and also used their knowledge of how wags worked to barter the way with passing trade convoys. So they had some time when they wasn't doing so much work that they couldn't help. I guess my daddy had a vision of what he wanted to find, and what he wanted to make of it. And I guess the folks of Salvation were stupid enough to believe him, and greedy enough to work at it.
Stupid enough?
Yeah, maybe they were, at that. After all, there was no real proof that any of the wells were actually capable of being worked. Shit, even if you found one with oil, how the hell were you supposed to get that refinery and plant working to get it out and make it into fuel? Liquid jack.
Workable enough, given their mechanical skills.
Guess that was it. Anyways, it took years. I grew up, and my daddy taught me all he knew, and showed me the old documents he used to piece together the knowledge he had for finding and testing the old wells. Shit, they're big enough to find, all right, if you got a map reference. But actually seeing if they had anything left, that can sometimes be a dangerous business. You try and get the damn things to gush, and if they do, then you run the risk of firing the bastards. That's what happened to Daddy. He was caught in the backdraft at a well, and fried.
He fell into a thoughtful silence.
And that's the well you're working?
Silas shook himself out of his reverie at Mildred's question.
Hell no. That's the irony of it all. It was another dry one, with just enough to fire up, then fizzle out. It burned for about 10 minutes. Long enough to chill any poor bastard near enough, and fuck all else.
So you took over the search?
That's about the size of it. I had the know-how, and I had the people behind me. When he died, my daddy wasn't baron. There still wasn't one. But I made sure everyone knew that if the search was going to continue, then I had to be baron, and had to have the whip hand. It'd need a strong man to handle what would happen if we actually found a whale. So they made me the baron, and after a little more searching, I finally found the mother lode. But this time, we were a lot richer in Salvation anyway, because word gets around, and there's too many folks who'd want to be on that train when it starts rolling. They don't want to get left behind. And so they're all too willing to start paying you favors.
But they always want payback.
Oh, yeah. And they know they'll get it. And finally, I hit pay dirt about 2 years back. Found a well.